Welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. My name is Davina Faust, and I am a life transformation expert. My goal for this podcast is to bring you some positivity every single week and to inspire you to recognize that your struggles are just part of your story. I have completely changed my life, and I just want you to know that you can do the same thing. I'll also be bringing on some really incredible people who are just like you, who have learned to turn their own pain into power. Hey guys, welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. This is my very first live in-person collaboration. My friend Sarah Bobbitt from high school is here, and she stayed with me, and I was like, we need to do a podcast together. So I already extensively shared my story about Brazil, but a few months after my trip, my good friend Sarah here took also a solo adventure to El Salvador. So I'd love to just kind of talk through that and, you know, just share our experiences as single women traveling abroad by ourselves. So Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Davina. Thanks for having me.
I love ya. So let's just tell the people, like, have you always had an inkling to visit El Salvador, and like what spurred you to take this trip?
Sure. So El Salvador in particular, no. I mean, to be honest, I've always loved traveling and wanted to do it. Davina and I are from the same tiny little area in Bumble. I think we were similar in that way, that we both kind of were looking at the world like there's more out there. Let's go see some more of this. So I started traveling abroad in college, was my first time, but El Salvador was never quite on the list, but I've always kind of year by year kind of taken it as like, oh, what's drawing my interest now? But the El Salvador trip was a little bit different, because I was kind of coming to a point in my life where I was making a big decision to kind of take one path instead of another. So it was last summer that I decided to book the trip for this February. And I was traveling a lot for work, and I was making the decision to get a divorce, and I was preparing my future self to have something to look forward to during the holidays, you know, first holidays alone. I was kind of like, well, why don't I do something adventurous? And then this thing kind of came across my Instagram feed, of all places, that was this like surf and empowerment and yoga retreat in El Salvador, all run by women only. And that really drew me in, because I've always thought surfing was so cool, and I've tried it a few times, it never stuck, so I figured this would be the perfect time to kind of see if I could actually become a surfer. And then in the meantime, I had just moved to Rhode Island, where, you know, it's the ocean state, there's lots of surfing there, so I figured it would be the perfect way to kind of embrace my new life in Rhode Island while also preparing for this big life decision that I was making, and kind of prepare my future self for something to look forward to and something that could offer some growth for me.
And that's so amazing that it's like, it wasn't just you booking a trip by yourself. It was like a retreat that was right up your alley. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that part. Mm-hmm. And that's so awesome. I would love to hear more about that experience.
Sure. Yeah. And honestly, to think of it as a solo trip feels so kind of disingenuous, because I literally wasn't alone from the time I landed for my connecting flight in Miami until I left for my connecting trip home from Miami to Rhode Island on the return flight. Because it was a great group of girls, and they're all super tech savvy, and we're like linking up on Facebook, and I met up with 5 women who were on the trip on my layover. So going into El Salvador, I was just completely at ease. But it's funny, because like a month before I left, it was Thanksgiving, because I was at my parents' house, and my sister was like teaching me what sex trafficking is. Because they're both, like, terrified for me because, you know, all you ever hear in the news about El Salvador is that people are trying to get out.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and this,
it was the same thing with when I went to Brazil. So many people were like, you know, because apparently their dictator there is pretty much equivalent or worse than President Trump. So, and there's a lot of warfare going on at all of the borders with Peru and all, like, everything is just a mess down there. And everyone was telling me, like, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. And then, like, so I put myself on edge a little bit of, like, oh, my God, I'm going to be pickpocketed every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I get there, and the people that I interacted with were the kindest human beings. And they came through for me so much. So it's, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, fear can prevent you from doing so many things.
Yeah.
And, like, in actuality, it's...
Or if you choose to overcome it, then it's like this life-affirming thing that, like, yeah, I was afraid, but then I did it, and, like, the universe rewarded me by, you know, having all these amazing people at my destination, and you got to see the best part of this part of the country, which, you know, in the U.S., you're hearing the worst thing about these places probably for a reason.
Yeah.
I would think. Yeah, and then, you know, to paint a whole country with the broad stroke of, like, oh no, it's you can't go there. Meanwhile, they have this beautiful little surf village, and, like, people are just so happy to have tourists there because it feeds their economy and it's good for them, and, like, there's a cultural exchange, and it feels amazing to push through that fear and then go see this beautiful place that you can come back and then tell people, like, don't sleep on El Salvador because it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So then, like, once you got to El Salvador, like, what exactly did you do there with this group of women?
Yeah, so it was, like, pretty well full program, but they would build in time to, like, go read or journal or just relax. But basically, they had a shuttle to take us to town. So I landed at San Salvador Airport, which is like an hour south of San Salvador, the city. So it was another hour from the airport to the coast to this town called Playa El Tunco. So that's where we stayed at this villa, and there was, like, an armed guard at the front, and there were like chickens and dogs and guinea hens, like all these all these different animals just, like, roaming the property of this villa. Which was, like, super cute. They had a pool and a kitchen and our little, like, bunk rooms. And it was right on the water on this, like, the best break in El Salvador, which was incredible to, like, wake up and watch these amazing surfers. Like, I didn't know that you could do that stuff on surfboards. Like, I didn't know you could go, like, I didn't know you could do a 360. Like, whoa. So that was cool, just the location. But then basically they welcomed us all in. I think we had an evening yoga class that night, like watching the sunset on the water.
Oh, shut up. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, they had this big porch on the other side of the pool, so between the pool and the ocean, and it was just overlooking everything, and so nice.
That's so, oh my gosh. I could just, like, if I were doing yoga on the beach at sunset, I would probably cry the entire time. Like,
life
is so beautiful. And I even had so many of those moments when I was in Brazil because, you know, I had wanted to go to the rainforest my whole life. And I was just, like, sitting on this boat looking around at, like, everything that was just, like, in magazine photos, and I just like started crying at least 4 times, just breaking down just for being so grateful and just like almost disbelief that I had made this happen for myself.
Exactly. And that's the most beautiful thing, is to, like, have that pride of, like, I did this, like, and this is me now, like, this is part of my experience, this is part of my story.
Yeah,
it's so powerful.
And then so many people will come to you and be like, I want to travel by myself. And it's like, do it. Like,
yeah,
I've had so many women come to me and they're like, I really want to travel by myself. And I'm like, you need to do it. Like, I will push you to do it.
Totally. And so, I think that there are ways to do it that make it, like, sure, it's a risk. It's a risk anytime you leave your house. But, like, you can plan it so that it's a calculated risk, so that, like, for example, you're going on, like, a well-known like
like a big like cruise ship.
You're guided. Yeah, it's not like you're like going out and finding some like random like fisherman to like tow you around the Amazon. Or and it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm getting dropped off in like San Salvador in the city, like by myself. Like, and I feel like that's kind of how people picture it when they haven't traveled abroad, that like you necessarily are just gonna be like dumped there and have to figure like, it out from scratch.
You just like have to read this map that you don't understand the language and you have to like, I don't know, like real life Dora the Explorer shit.
Right.
Like
it couldn't be further from the truth, because like there's Wi-Fi everywhere.
Yes.
And you can prepare ahead of time, you can do retreats with other people that you can meet up with. You can, you know, do your research and find something that makes it comfortable while still being exciting and doing the thing that you've been dreaming of.
So, like, you're doing yoga on the beach, you're learning how to surf. What else was part of this this experience for you?
Yeah, so, well, there was a hike up a volcano, which I'll come back to, but...
A hike up a volcano? What?
Yeah, and then we swam in a crater lake, which was, like, always something that I wanted to do.
All right, Sarah.
But the other... So the main components were surf, yoga, and then empowerment, which I was like, yeah, woo-woo, like, tell me more. I'm sure, like, I'll just, like, eye roll through it and then enjoy the yoga and the surfing. I was like... I tried to go in and be receptive, and it was actually... Some of it was incredibly powerful. So, this woman, Erica Jolet, she's a co-founder of the group that runs the retreats, or the business that runs the retreats, and she led a bunch of the yoga sessions, but also some just, like, bonding and, like, embodiment, like, movement-type activities. So we did, like, eye-gazing with one another. Like, we went around and all sat there and, like, that was kind of incredible, just how you felt your body's natural like response to put up a barrier to this other person. And then like you were challenged to just sit with that, let it go away and let it peel away. And then to really pick up someone else's gaze. And it's so interesting, just like, cause you can't put it into words, like what that feels like to like connect with someone without your guards up and without even the boundary of words almost. But so it was stuff like that where it was meant to make us vulnerable with each other so that we could all bond and kind of like quickly, since it was a week trip. So that there was that kind of like warm up activity. And then this special guest, Yan Robinson, was there. And she's the reason why I found it, because I started following her. She's like this poet, surfer lady from California. She's super badass. But she was their special guest to do empowerment workshops. And so the first one that she did of three was what she called like rapid fire vulnerability or something. So basically all of us like paired up to exchange our answers to one another. And we were like challenged to like be mindful of our body language so that we were communicating that we were receptive, and to also not interrupt the other person with like, oh yeah, me too, because this, like to just like sit there with it and like create the space to like receive their response, which I've kind of tried to take back with me. Like when I'm, you know, when you're in a social situation and you're feeling like slightly uneasy, it's easy to like cross the arms, cross the legs, like touch yourself in some kind of like self-protective way. Whereas if you just like think of like relaxing and opening, it like, it does something crazy. Like, and then you're like, and then you're there with that person and it's not.
And I feel like awkward. The person that hasn't done that work notices a difference, even though they don't, like, you know, they may be like, wow, like, this feels weird, but I feel super connected to her right now. But they can't, like, they haven't done the work themselves, so they don't even.
Yeah.
So all of this vulnerability work came at a perfect time for you. It was, like, right as you were deciding to get your divorce. Could you talk about that a little bit? Like, how did it feel to do this work, knowing that you had all this stress back at home?
Well, it was interesting because it definitely hit on a lot of issues for me, kind of that I've had in the past. like, for example, in high school, I totally made the mistake of being that girl that was like, oh, I like being friends with guys better. Like, it's just easier for me. I just get along with guys better.
Except for me. I'm awesome.
Well, yes, of course. Just kidding. Of course. No, but I definitely was one of those girls who went through times where, like, no, I just want to hang out with the boys. But really, that was just me not accepting the vulnerability of, you know, women. No, like, you can't get much past a woman, right? Like, yeah. Even, and girls, too, like, when I was that age. It was more comfortable for me because, I don't know, it's easier to be around guys and, like, they can't call you out on their bullshit because they just don't.
Yeah, they're not really, like, their emotional intelligence isn't as sharp.
Right. Yeah. So being around all of these women who were just completely unique from one another, but all, like, equally just impressive and doing their own thing and, like, strong and adventurous, clearly, because, you know, they're all in this together. It definitely kind of took me back to that, like, mindset of, like, oh, well, kind of, like, putting up my guard before I could be rejected, almost. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting to, like, feel that rise up in me and try and challenge that. Honestly, I wasn't in, like, an easy breezy mindset, and I was almost, like, beating myself up for that, because I'm like, I'm in paradise, why am I worried about these girls liking me that, like, I won't see ever again? But it just, I think it just goes to show you, like, it was showing me where my work is to do on myself, because, you know, when you're in an uncomfortable situation, I feel like you just go back to all of your, like, crap problem solving and, like, defense mechanisms.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see those all, like, get turned on, and especially when doing that kind of vulnerability work, I was just, like, squirming because it was so uncomfortable, but, like, I feel like I grew so much from it, and the result has been that coming back and feeling, like, even an ounce more in my environment, I have been able to make all these new girlfriends who are incredible in Rhode Island, and, like, I'm starting to feel like, yeah, I have a community there, like, it's my home, and I feel like that's all because I was, like, so uncomfortable in El Salvador, and then I was like, no, this is where the work needs to be done. I have to lean into this. I have to keep trying, like, making relationships with people, even if it feels uncomfortable for a second, because, you know, in, like, the early days of a friendship, you're like, oh, crap, why did I say that thing? She's going to think I'm such a jerk. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
testing the waters of, like...
Yeah, exactly. But, like, it's just pushing through that to, you know, realize that, like, no, if you keep showing up, if you keep, you know, saying, like, why did I say that? Like, try and clarify or be more communicative and not shut down and not, like, go inside my head to beat myself up for saying that stupid thing. Effective for making friends.
I freaking love that. And yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking about what I needed to learn from Brazil. Yeah. And, you know, I was in a different situation where the first half of my trip, I was surrounded by old people. So I really wasn't, like, worried about, like, connecting with anyone or making friends. And then the second half of the trip is when I saw, like, people my own age who were willing to get drunk with me, honestly. And it was like, it was very like, oh, hey, my friends are finally here. Like, I never felt pressured to, like, force a connection with any of them. So I think my work came in the form of letting go of perfectionism and knowing that things, you can't control all things. So I spoke about it in the last Brazil episode, but in my flight situation was a nightmare. And I just made the cruise ship by the skin of my teeth. And that kind of taught me that I can get through things without having that forceful grip and trying to force the solution.
What a relief that is, right?
Yeah, and there's, like, a creative way to solve any issue that pops up. So I feel like that was the lesson I took from that experience.
Yeah.
And then just being open to connect and interact with people. Mm-hmm. I've met people from India, from Australia, from Bermuda, from Los Angeles, you know, like, everywhere, you know, and it was just like I would have so regretted not doing it.
Yeah.
Like, in the long run.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
What do you have, like, is there any sort of advice you have for somebody that, like, wants to do a retreat like this or mm-hmm. wants to, like, jump out on their own?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they should do?
Take a leap of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, at least for me, scheduling and, like, making the first step is always the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as soon as you have that roadblock up and you let that stop you, then you're never going to do it. So, book it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I so agree with that because even in, like, I didn't finalize my payment on my Brazil trip until a month before.
Yeah.
Because I was just trying to tell myself, I don't deserve to spend this kind of money on myself. I don't deserve to do this. And yada, yada. And it's like, Davina, like, you literally have been saving for this for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Frickin' do it. Yeah. So, and you're right. Like, as soon as you, like, just put it down officially, this is happening.
Yep.
You just get yourself prepared and organized. And, like, I was probably the most prepared person on that boat. Like, I had a first aid kit with everything you could think of. I, like, had everything. Like,
I love you. I know. You're so prepared.
I was just on it. I was like, I have all of my shots. I have all of my paperwork at all times. And, like, I just, like,
oh my God.
I didn't want to feel, like, I kind of went into mom mode a little bit because I had to mom myself,
Can
you know?
Can I tell you a funny contrasting story in my prep for that?
Yeah.
Speaking of being vaccinated, I was like, lightly researching it, probably still too close to the trip to be like of any good if I needed something.
Oh my God.
And there was one that I was uncertain about because it was like, I don't know, there was an asterisk somewhere. I'm like, do I need a yellow fever vaccination? Like, because that's the one that I know I knew I didn't have. And I was also like, do I need it? And like, in my coping mechanism world, I just I work as a software consultant, and so I have to like model data in the system, and it's for pharmaceutical data. So I decided to just model data for the yellow fever vaccination.
Oh my God.
And then I finally, that day after I like did this demo using all this data that like took hours to put into this I finally found the answer that no, I didn't need the
vaccination. Oh my God. I had to get the yellow fever vaccination, but it was like the same thing of like me panicking and being like, oh crap, I really need this.
Yeah.
And like, you don't realize how like, I mean, every single travel vaccine that I needed was not covered by health insurance. Ugh. So that was like an extra $500 on my credit card that I was like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I would rather pay this money than die, you know?
For like, sure, yeah.
So, but yeah, anyway, I don't want to go on a rant about healthcare. But.
but about like making the decision to go, and I think this was relevant in my decision to get a divorce also. I was reading The Alchemist around the same time that I decided to book it. And there's this great part where, it's like a high school book, but I hadn't read it before and I had it recommended to me by a friend. But there's this one line that's approximately like, once you make the decision, life just carries you in a current in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy how much that does happen. Like once you make the decision, I feel like I started getting like all these signs that like, yeah, like life is opening up to me in this direction, going out on my own in, you know, several respects.
Oh my God.
And it's just like, I really like kind of holding that with me because it helps you to make that plunge of like, yeah, go and make a leap of faith, book the ticket, and then see how the world comes to like support you in that endeavor.
I love that so much. I love that. So what else would you say that you learned the most from your trip?
That I needed a balance of trying again. The persistence that you need to learn how to surf is kind of like unparalleled with anything else just because it's so friggin' hard. Like it's so much effort to try and try and try and try. And like you literally have to learn to love wiping out.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're gonna quit.
Yeah.
Like it took me, I came back and continued surfing and I feel like I got really far in that environment where, you know, you're being supported by your surf coach and you're having photo analysis?
Analysis.
Thank you. Wow. It's early.
Yeah. I got the grog in my throat.
But yeah, just like the persistence of kind of loving to fail, like loving to try and like being proud of myself just for trying and showing up and kind of letting the results like not even be a part of the equation. Like, yes, I want to surf and I want to feel what it feels like to stand up and like feel like you're walking on water. Like, yes, do I want that more than ever? Like, that's a given. But when you're trying, like when you're in that process of learning, it's not about getting there. It's about showing up and trying.
Yeah. And for my friends who don't know, my friend Sarah, she's gonna be the most magnificent surfer. She's got like this really long blonde hair, and she's really tall, and like I can just see you like floating through the woods. But no, what you said is really important of like embracing failure and almost learning to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens in a lot of situations, whether it be, you know, attempting to lose weight or taking on a new course or anything that you do. Like if you fail and you think of it as an end all be all mentality, then you're going to be stuck and never able to break through that. So I really love that idea of just like looking forward to wiping out.
Yeah.
Because that would be my biggest fear. Like, I probably slap myself in the face with the surfboard.
Yeah, and, well, it's common.
Yeah.
It happens way more than you'd like to think.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
But that also kind of ties into... So I've been doing yoga for years, and it ties into the whole, like, mindfulness thing of, like, present moment is all you have or ever will have, and it's all that matters. So when you're in the early stages of learning anything or trying anything new, you have to be able to like be in that present moment fully and not want to be 2 years down the road when you know what you're doing, or not be yesterday when you should have been doing something and, you know, you want to kick yourself for it. You have to be right now, right here with what's happening and with where you are and appreciate that.
Yeah, make it. I've been working a lot with my life coach on this, where it's like making the present moment count and making decisions in the present moment, taking action in the present moment, and not thinking.
Or not worrying about it if you can.
Yeah,
like that. And I feel like that's such a great way to like clear out your friggin' head when you're like, wait, is this something that I can do right now? If it is, great, because then do it right now, and you're super effective. Or if it's not something you can do right now, then get it out of my brain. I don't need it right now.
You sit over there. Sarah, I love you so much. And this is like, we're almost pushing a half hour now. Like, this is just such a, Sarah's like one of those people that just conversation flows. And especially like me and you, I feel like we just like riff off of each other so much. Like having the same brain almost.
God, I love it. It's so cool. I mean, we came from similar starting points. You know, and knowing you when we were, you know, in our adolescence and burgeoning young women, to see how far we've come from, like, we were both, you know, in Schuylkill County, hating it, like, wanting to get out as soon as possible, and now we both made it happen, and it's so cool and powerful to, like, we're kindred spirits, I think, and, like, just seeing, like, where you're at, seeing, and, like, the commonalities of, like, where our growth has happened and like what we're both still working on. It's
cool. Aw. Well, I want to hug you now. So if anyone is listening to this and if you're open to making new friends online, is there anywhere on social media where they can find you and connect with you?
Yep. You can find me at K Sarah, Sarah K on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, I love you, and this was amazing, and thank you so much for staying with me and coming on this podcast and just having, like, the best outlook on life ever.
Oh, I love you so much.
Yay, thanks for having me. Hug.
My goal for this podcast is to always spread some positive vibes. And to keep that good energy flowing, it would mean a lot to me if you could share this episode with your friends or leave a nice review on iTunes. Or you could always find me on Instagram at Davina Faust and take a screenshot of the episode. But remember, no matter what it looks like for you, your happiness is worth fighting for.